This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and our coverage of coronavirus impacts and the collective path forward continues. A week ago, Congress passed and President Trump signed a more than $2 trillion coronavirus relief package. It was the third such measure designed to send money where needed as we navigate through a global health pandemic that is adversely impacting all aspects of our lives. Even then, we all knew more would be needed, and now a fourth bill is being prepared to invest even more. Debbie Dingell represents Michigan's 12th District in the U.S. House, and that district covers portions of Washtenaw County. Congresswoman Dingell has agreed to join us each Friday on WEMU to provide updates from a federal perspective with an eye on how it touches our lives here at home. And Representative Dingell, thank you so much for the time.
Oh, it's good to be with you. Good morning, David.
I just heard a cough, and on a personal note, when we spoke last Friday, you were keeping to yourself at home as you had staff members that were presenting with symptoms, and you'd been exposed to some other members of the House that had tested positive for COVID-19. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing okay. I take my temperature every morning and every night, and I have an allergy asthma cough, which is just what I always have.
All right. So have you felt the need to be tested?
Nope.
All right. Are you still self-quarantining?
I'm doing what the doctor wants me to do. But not the doctor, the governor wants me to do. And the governor says, stay home. And I think people like myself have a responsibility to lead by leading. This is my 20th day at home, and I am going stir crazy. But I am leading by leading. We all need to stay at home. That's how we're going to mitigate this disease. It is an invisible enemy. David, I know 12 people who have died in the last couple of weeks. This is killing people that we all know. So I'm staying home.
While you're home, you are remaining very engaged. And on the legislative front, how quickly might we see that fourth package of relief and stimulus bills presented for vote?
So we're working very hard on it. I probably would say I'm spending half a day on it right now. And you are right. I, by the way, am becoming a champion of saying to people, we physically distance, we don't socially distance. But I was on the call yesterday with Speaker Pelosi. Some of the things that are really beginning to crystallize as to what needs to be in there, I'm working on a number of those pieces. Have another call today with Energy and Commerce. It won't be till at least after the 20th, but we won't be called back to Washington until we have a package that there appears to be agreement on both in the House and in the Senate.
Again, this is a work that is in progress. It does reportedly contain some great investment in infrastructure, which seems to have unsettled Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell a bit. He said he may put the brakes on what he sees as an effort by Democrats to forward an agenda that could only pass if attached to a coronavirus package. How do you respond to that?
I say that anybody in this country that doesn't see how broken our infrastructure system is right now has gone blind and just doesn't realize it. The president himself believes that we need an infrastructure package, and I cannot think of a more critical time for us to do that. And when we talk about infrastructure packages, yes, we need to fix the dam roads, which is a phrase we use in Michigan, but it's also broadband. We need to expand broadband nationwide. We need it in the rural areas. Our children are depending upon that broadband. All of us are using technology. I have learned more technology and did it myself. That's what I'm the proudest of, on Zoom and Skype and webinars and different things that you couldn't do. But they all take broadband, and all of our broadbands are slowing down. We have to do that. But we also have to address water. We've got broken pipes and an aging water infrastructure. And one of the things people also realize is one of the number one public health issues in this country is we're going to all have to wash our hands, period. This washing our hands is not something that your parents are just going to teach you. It's going to be critical that every human being for the health of this country wash their hands a zillion times a day. How can somebody do that without running water? We have to make sure that people have running water. So there's some things that Mitch McConnell, wake up, because this country needs them.
We're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU, and you regularly hold telephone town halls with your constituency. What is your takeaway from those engagements to this point?
You know, I'm doing one a week because I think these are scary times for people in a whole variety of ways. First, the coronavirus is very contagious. I think it, most people now know someone that has it. Many people know someone who's died, so they have a lot of questions just about the virus and how they keep themselves safe. Now the reality, it was April 1st this week, and people had rent payments due, mortgage payments. People are worried about how they're going to eat. Some people have been laid off for a week or two. So you hear that the health care and what was going to happen, what did it mean, probably dominated the first couple of weeks. But now that next level of how do I get help, what am I going to do, is also coming onto the calls, and they want to understand it. They want to, how long are they going to be home? How am I going to educate my child? What's going to happen if the school's closed? We talk about a whole spectrum of issues, and that's why we try to get different experts on the phone. I've had a doctor from each of the major healthcare systems in the 12th district. So Michigan was first, Beaumont. This week we had Henry Ford. And then we bring somebody like the lieutenant governor was able to answer a lot of the state questions. This week we had Jeff Donofrio, who dealt with a lot of the unemployment and the worker issues. Next week we're going to try to have someone from John Hopkins on in small business. I had small business 2 weeks ago too. So what we're trying to do is to bring the experts, but always have a medical person there that can address the issues that change every single day.
And how do you take that information back to Washington, even if via Zoom, and work for more equitable outcomes?
So I'm going to actually tell you that there are two pieces here. There is the answering questions, making sure they have the latest information, and helping people, what I'll call casework, just helping what they need. But besides those town hall meetings that you're talking about, I'm on the phone from 6 in the morning until last night. I hung up at 12:30. And I'm talking to companies. I talked to a lot of companies yesterday about what was happening with their businesses. I talked to my mayors, all my mayors and my county commissioners, understanding what was happening at the state level and the local level, what things they were going to need, how they're going to need more money. I spent a lot of time on the phone with the hospitals and the PPE equipment that they're not getting, the ventilators, but hospitals are starting to have cash flow problems. So their liquidity issue. So you also talk to the major institutions in your district to understand what do they need and how do you go solve their problems. So you take that information in, and then we have conference calls. We have endless conference calls where we're all talking about what's got to happen, what's got to be in there, and telling the story.
And when you say we all, I assume you mean people from both sides of the aisle, and that there, amid this crisis, is a growing sense of bipartisanship.
You know, I'm going to give you one story. Yes, there definitively is. This delegation is working in a very bipartisan manner, and each member of Congress is on different committees and has different areas of expertise. But when Trinity Health System called me 2 days ago to tell me about what was happening to them and that they were going to have to lay off 2,500 employees, I had a little, almost heart attack, and tried to understand what that meant. I thought they were taking beds out at a time that we desperately need them as we're getting ready to peak, and that they are not. They have kept all of their beds. They're adding beds. But the first person I called was Fred Upton. And Fred and I got on the phone and called the governor's office. We called the person who's handling the health care issues right now at the state level. We talked to Brian Peters, who's head of the hospitals. And we really dug in to understand, okay, what's going on? What's the business situation? What's the cash flow? Who is it that you're laying off? Can't you redeploy them? We just dug in, and we got other members involved. And Fred talked to the vice president's office and HHS. I was working with the governor's office. What we do is problem solve. We get a problem, we analyze it, we understand everything we can about it, and then we brainstorm and figure out how to solve it.
Our conversation with Michigan's 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU. And by the way, Mrs. Dingell will be our guest for a live one-hour listener participation show on Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Representative Dingell will join our own Lisa Berry to answer your questions directly. You'll hear it on the air of 89.1 WEMU. It's going to be broadcast on our Facebook page live as well. You can submit your questions beginning now at studio@WEMU.org. You can submit questions that evening via Facebook or by calling in. So make sure you listen in here on WEMU. Most people and families, Congresswoman Dingell, will get some money through the recently passed relief bill very soon. For many, it's not going to be nearly enough. And there are other countries around the world that are providing much more. Do you envision, either in this upcoming fourth relief package or somewhere further down the line, there's going to be more direct aid to the citizens of the United States?
I think that the longer this goes, yes, we're going to look at how we do that, because the goal of our government is to make sure people are safe and that they have what they need to buy groceries, to stay in their homes. The first thing we have to do, David, is to defeat this invisible enemy. We got to stay home until this health emergency crisis is over. We can't bring back a life. Once someone's gone, we can't bring them back. We can restart the economy when the time is right. So I've had my Republican friends talk to me about how we're probably going to have to do another tranche. And I view that as really critical, and we are talking about it, and we'll figure it out this month.
I'm sure that most people know you were married to John Dingell until his passing. He was considered the Dean of the U.S. House and was the longest-serving member of Congress in U.S. history. He governed through the Civil Rights Movement, the Vietnam War. He governed through the gas shortage in the 70s and helped impeach President Richard Nixon. He fought bigotry and prejudice to get the U.S. government to acknowledge and then finally do something about the AIDS crisis. In these most difficult of times now, do you find yourself calling on his experience and his wisdom to help you govern through the crisis?
I think a lot about what he taught me. I pray to him a lot. I tell him we need him to be watching out for us. I miss him a lot, David. But I know that he expects me to do what I'm doing. And that's what I'm doing. And we are, you know, we've got workers that are scared to death. Most of this week, I've spent a lot of time just there are a number of plants, big manufacturing plants, that have people in them very scared, talking to the workers, talking to the owners, trying to get them to understand each other's perspective, trying to keep those workers safe. And if I have to, I can get pretty intense. I'm working with Rashida, and actually on the days
Rashida Tlaib you're speaking
of. Tlaib, right, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. There are days that she looks calm and I'm the intense one. But we're trying to help people, and we're trying to help people understand each other. And most importantly, we're trying to keep people safe. Human lives matter.
I'd like to thank you for the time today, and I will most certainly look forward to your live broadcast with Lisa Berry on Monday evening and our next conversation a week from today.
Thank you. Remember, here's my closing line every week. Stay home, stay safe, save lives.
That is 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. She joins me on Fridays to update us on the federal response to the coronavirus crisis. She will participate in a live one-hour listener participation broadcast this coming Monday evening with WEMU's Lisa Berry. For all the information on how you can take part in that event and to access all of WEMU's and NPR's COVID-19 coverage, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.